Okay, let's get started. Thank you all for coming on. This actually is the final shiur on this topic of Amir Lahakum. So we have to just address one more subcategory and then we'll be finished with this topic. So it's been a good ride. Thank you all for those who have been joining me through a lot or most or part of this journey. Some very, very important halachos that we've been learning. I want to give a special thank you to Eileen Deitches for sponsoring this evening's shiur in honor of the yahrzeit of her mother, Chana Rachel Bas Avram, and Neshama Shef and Aliyah from Everybody's Learning this evening, in honor of her yahrzeit. Okay, so we have one important category left to discuss that we haven't yet discussed, which relates to Amir La'akum, and that is the topic of house in-house help. When it comes to having somebody work in our home, a cleaning lady or a waiter, waitress, and the shilas surrounding that situation, what they're allowed to do for us, what they're not allowed to do for us, and that's going to be the last shilah that we discuss. So to start, I want to rehash the most important concept that we did that last week. Hold on 1 second, sorry. So I want to first clarify the main concept that I introduced last week, which I need to mention again, and that is the distinction between a kablan and a schir yom, the distinction between a person who was hired as a contractor to do the job versus a person who's hired by the hour. It's a fundamental difference. Any person who's hired by the hour, by definition, my shliach, is by definition my messenger. And what they do on Shabbos, even if I don't directly tell them to do it, whatever they do as part of the job is by definition is because of me. Hold on 1 second, sorry. Okay, sorry. By definition, whatever they do is considered as my messenger and is a problem. As opposed to a person who is hired for the job, and they could do the job before Shabbos or after Shabbos, and they decide for their own convenience to do the job on Shabbos. So then them doing the job, by them doing that, they're not considered my shliach, and it's okay. I'm allowed to send something to the dry cleaners on Friday, pick it up on Monday, provided they have the opportunity before or after Shabbos to do it. Even if they end up doing it on Shabbos, I don't have to worry about it because I'm paying them for the job. I'm not paying them per hour. As opposed to if I'm, let's say I'm hiring a plumber who is, plumber's also being paid for the job. So I take that back. That's also a kablan. Let's say I were to hire somebody to, you know, clean my floors, let's say. I hire them per hour. Let's say like a cleaning lady or something. I hire her per hour. Then she goes along and she does malacha for me. She turns on lights, she turns off lights, things of that nature, which are all part of the rubric of what she's there for. She's there to help out whatever's needed. So she generally does certain things, but she's there to do other things. That's where there becomes a problem. And we're going to discuss that in a little bit more detail right now. So the first part of this is, which I've gotten this question a few times, am I allowed to hire in-house help on Shabbos if I know the person's going to be driving to get to me on Shabbos? Am I allowed to hire a waiter to come to the shul, come to my house, because I'm hosting the Sheva Brachos on Shabbos? I don't want them there before 8 p.m. Friday night. Shabbos starts at 6 p.m. I know they're going to be driving on Shabbos to get to me. Is that a problem? Am I in essence telling them to drive on Shabbos? Or they're going to drive home on Shabbos afterwards? Is that a problem? It's a very, very common shaila. And the answer to this is that that's not a problem. You never have to worry about that. How they get to you is not within the purview of your directive, right? You're telling them, you're hiring them to come, be there, show up at 8 o'clock. How they get here is not your issue. That's their, however they choose to get here is their own convenience, how they want to get here. That's not even connected to what your directive is. Whatever your directive is, that's what potentially could be within, they can be your shliach for that. But how they decide to get there on their own is not a problem. And therefore, that would not be an issue. So you never have to worry about the fact that they're driving on Shabbos. Now, if you are also paying them for transportation costs, then there could be a problem, because now you are in essence directing them that, you know, you can do, that you can do this. That I'm on my watch, I'm paying you for this. Then it can get more complicated. But usually that's not the case. Usually you're paying them per hour, you're getting there, or per job, you know, for the meal. They're getting there however they want to get there, and that's not a problem. Okay, so that's step number one. Step number two, which is very, very important, I just alluded to this before, and this is the most common, this is a very common issue, and this is a problem. And that is, if I have a hired worker on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to allow them to do any malacha for me whatsoever. Let's say I hire a clean lady for 2 hours on Shabbos. Am I allowed to do that? I can do that, provided that the clean lady does not do any malacha, right? I can hire a waiter on Shabbos to come on Shabbos, provided the waiter does not do any malacha, right? Just whatever I can do on Shabbos, they can do on Shabbos. I just need more help. I need more hands on deck. So I can have I can hire a cleaning lady to come to sweep the floor, to clear the table, to do all the types of things that I would normally do. I need to hire somebody to help my wife, you know, wheel my kids to shul and be there as another helper in shul for my kids or whatever. I'm hiring them per hour to do things that I can do. That is all permissible for a guy. If it's for a Jew, so somebody mentioned the shiloh last week. For a Jew, that is a problem. And therefore we discussed last week, what's the permissibility to allow a youth leader to be hired on Shabbos? And for that, we said, because you absorb in weekday activities into their salary. I'm hiring them for the week to do some activities on Shabbos, some off, some which are not on Shabbos, like the preparation for the youth group. And once I include a component which is not on Shabbos, then it becomes permissible. For a guy, you don't have to worry about that. You only have to worry about the fact that they're not doing malacha. So therefore, if I hire a guy to work for me per hour, but they're not doing any malacha, they're not violating Shabbos, they're just doing on Shabbos whatever I could do on my own, there's no problem whatsoever. And that's what you see people do all the time, right? They hire waiters, waitresses, cleaning help of any kind. They can't do malacha, but if they're not doing malacha, it's not a problem. So I have a clean lady or a waiter in my house or in the shul, you know, let's say on Shabbos. And all of a sudden, the light goes off, you know, the light goes on where I want it, or let's say I want some more light, you know, in the social hall. Somebody elbowed one of the lights off. I have some light in the room, but I want more light in the room. Or some, you know, accidentally, I want there's some light, you know, whatever. In let's say the mom and tot area, there's two lights there. One light goes off and the other light's still, you know, on. I want them both on. I'm purposely mentioning a case of increased light going back to the very first year, if you recall, because to have a guy turn on a light directly where there's no light whatsoever, then there's another problem of benefiting from the act of malach of a guy, even if I don't tell him to do anything. Here we're talking about the incremental type of benefit, or the indirect benefit. Again, I'm making a quick allusion to this. And for those of you who recall the very, very beginning of this whole thing, you'll remember that. Those types of benefits, like turning off a light or increasing the light, are things where there's no inherent problem of benefiting from a non-Jew on Shabbos. The only issue is I cannot tell them to do it on Shabbos. So let's say somebody elbows one of the social hall lights off Friday night. Now, you know, if you notice, we have that protective glass on it for a reason. So nobody would do that. But let's just say somebody did it. And or a kid was exploring and they picked the piece up and they just turned off one of the lights. Okay, I have some light in there. So I can see what I'm doing. And now there's no inherent problem of a guy turning on more light for me, but I cannot tell them to do it for me on Shabbos. So I say to myself, well, I've got a waiter who's right in the kitchen. They're right there. Perfect. This is excellent. I don't have to go outside in a Wawa at 10 o'clock at night and look for somebody to come into the shul. I have a waiter right there that I trust. I brought into my shul already. So I go over to the waiter and I'll say, I remember Hilchos Shabbos. I remember this chabura that Rabbi Yemins gave. And I'll say, okay, the lights are partially off in the social hall. Right? That's a direct fact. That's a hint. That's a good hint. Right? If I were to say that statement to anybody on the street, that would be permissible. That's the classic example, which is permissible. Right? There's no v'daver davar. There's no speech which is problematic because I'm not giving any directive. I'm just saying a story. I'm saying facts. There's no shlichos again because I didn't directly tell them to do anything. I'm stating a fact. They figured out that I maybe want them to do this, but I didn't say anything specifically about it. That's the classic example of a hint, which is good. If I were to do that in Wawa across the street, no problem. So you would think, okay, people naturally think, okay, I'll do it for the waiter. Go to the waiter and I say the lights are partially off in the social hall. Can I say that? The answer is I cannot say that for the waiter. Cannot say that to the waitress. Why? Because a waiter who's already being paid per hour is now my shliach for whatever they do. If it comes somebody outside on the street, they're not my shliach at the moment. They're just a random person. But I already have a business relationship with this waiter. The waiter is my shliach who's being hired per hour. Whatever she does during, or he or she does during that time is by definition as a result of my directive, whether I directly tell them to do it or not. A waiter is known to be somebody that does a bunch of different things. What they do is not very specific. It's whatever, it's really whatever the crowd needs, right? There's a flexibility in the type of jobs which they do. And included in that would be if I need something like this. This would certainly be included in, you know, what within the purview, what they're helping out the customers to make their dining experience more pleasurable. That's certainly within the purview of what they would do. And therefore, I would not be allowed to tell them or even to hint to them to do it. Because if they were to do it, even if I don't hint to them, they do it because they sense I want it. It's as if I directed them to do it because their entire relationship with me in that shul that night is by definition as my messenger. And even if I don't say anything, if I have to stop them from doing it, because they are considered my shliach. Just like I said last week, if I have a secretary who is paid per hour, I have to tell the secretary, do not do this work on Shabbos. Unless I turn the job into a contract job, which we discussed how to do that last week. If I don't do that, even if I don't say anything, she cannot or he cannot do that for me on Shabbos. Because by definition, they are considered my shliach for a job which is being paid per hour. And therefore, so too with this waiter, I would not be allowed to say that. So what can I say potentially up front to allow them to do this should the situation arise? Again, in the moment, it's usser. In the moment, I cannot go down to that waiter to ask them to turn the lights on. I have to go find somebody else. But here's a way that I could do it ahead of time. So, and some posts can bring this leniency. When I hire the waiter, I say, I am hiring you to do these specific tasks, nothing else. Clean up the room, set up the room, anything directly food related or cleanliness related, and that's it. There is nothing else that you are responsible for. By saying that up front, I'm now limiting the scope of what they do for me as my shliach, as my messenger. Whatever is food related and clean and cleaning related, not lighting related. And therefore, if I tell them that to them ahead of time, and then they go along and now I hint to them about the light, I'm allowed to do so. Because that's outside the purview of their shlichus. I'll give you another example, which is more built in. Let's say the shul hires a security guard on a Shabbos or Yom Tov morning. So security guards are paid by the hour. We pay them, it's a 4-hour, you hire them for 4 hours, but they're being paid per hour. That's how they're paid. So now, all of a sudden, one of the lights goes off in the social hall. Not both, one of them. Can we see that? Can we see down there? Yes. Is it an urgent matter, litzarech harabim, for the sake of the klal, which we discussed that once upon a time? There are certain leniencies for the sake of the tzibor, for a mitzvah. That's not this case. The lights are, there's light coming through the windows. One lights are still on. You can still have kiddush. Is it as geschmack? No, but you will survive, right? But it will be more geschmack if we have all the lights on. We can see better. Am I allowed to go outside to that security guard and hint to him and say one of the lights is off in our social hall and just leave it at that? And hopefully he gets the hint. right? Am I allowed to do that? Even without specifying anything ahead of time? The answer is yes. Why? Because it's crystal clear what the purview of a security officer is. It's just security. It's clear you're asking him to do something outside the purview, obviously, right? It's so far removed from what he's there to do. And therefore, for him to do that is not part of my shlichus. It's not part of his shlichus for me. He's not my messenger for anything of that nature. And therefore, asking him to do that with a proper hint is no different than asking anybody else off the street, vis-a-vis a hint, to do that job. So that is a very, very important thing that I wanted to mention. And that is the way that a person can do it. So just to bring this home for one more second, so too when it comes to a cleaning lady. If I have a cleaning lady in my house for Shabbos, I have to make sure, she cannot touch any lights. First of all, for sure, she can't do anything with noise for Ashkenazim, for sure, because of Zilus of the Shabbos. It's degrading Shabbos. For sure, she cannot do any malacha inside the house anyways, even for Sfardim, because we discussed last week of Maris Ayin, it gives the appearance that maybe you told her to do it on Shabbos. But let's say on her own, one of the lights, she notices one of my kids turns off a light. She knows, she's not dumb. She knows that light's supposed to be on. She knows what Shabbos is already. She's been cleaning her house for years and she knows people in the community. She knows we don't do that. She knows we probably want the light back on. And she wants, she figures she'll just go turn the light back on. She figures she'll do it on her own. We have to make sure that she does not do that. We have to really make sure that we tell her ahead of time, don't touch any lights. Even if they go off, even if my kids mess it up, my younger kids, they do something to it. Don't worry about it. Don't touch it. Because since her purview is very, very broad, just really whatever is needed around the house to put the house together. But many clean ladies, depending on what their dynamic is, include just other random odds and ends of things to do that we may ask them to do in the moment. Can you watch my child here for 3 minutes? Well, whatever. Very often that's the case. And therefore, this is certainly within that scope in a general sense. And therefore, they cannot do it for me because then they're considered my shliach to do that if they're being hired per hour. Again, if a person's hired for the job, then that's different. But again, that's not the case of a normal clean lady, and therefore that would be problematic. Okay, that is the last case I wanted to discuss with you for this discussion of Amir La'akum. A big yashkach to everybody who has kept on, as I mentioned at the beginning of this year, throughout these last couple of months to learn these halachos. I'm sure everybody has it all perfectly clear. No, I mean, this is obviously hard topic, and there's always what to review. And I know there's been a request for some written information on this, and Mr. Shem, if I can find the time and the ability to do that, I will, or direct you in some other ways to get some more resources. But it's a very, very important topic. And if we know it well, it can help us many times on Shabbos that we're stuck, we're not sure what to do. Knowing these halachos can really help us in the moment. We're going to take a quick break, so starting, there won't be a shiur next week. There are a couple of smaller other topics in Shabbos, which I can cover with you, things which I can do with maybe with the one or two shiurim, let's say when it comes to Kiddush or Havdalah, things of that nature for women. Do you have to drink from the wine? Do you not have to drink from the wine? Should you make your own Kiddush if somebody else lives with you? Should you not? Havdalah, there's a few different things there that we could discuss just in one or two shiurim, very important halachos. So maybe I'll be in touch with you if you would like those shiurim. Or we move on to other things. Maybe we have Yom Tov coming up. Maybe we do some Purim. Maybe some Pesach. We can discuss that as well. So I'll be in touch with some of you, and we'll see what the interest level is. Okay? Any questions?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. A lot of times in people's houses, they have cleaning help, and you see them washing the dishes. And I'm sure they're not using cold water. And it really is preparing. You don't tell them. They just know what they're part of the job. And you could say, okay, they could do it. They can't do it before Shabbos because the dishes aren't dirty before Shabbos. They're not coming back after Shabbos till maybe the next day or the next or 2 days later, and nobody wants the dishes in their sink for 2 days.
Right. Yeah. So I remember. So if you look back, actually, I think it should be on our website. I think maybe this two shiurim ago or three. One of the shiurim was dedicated to this shiloh about the dishwashing. So you could find the whole discussion there. Shiurim are on the website. I really have.
I didn't realize that. I mean, I never.
Yeah, it's my mistake. I think we forgot one. Some issue with the recording, This one's also going to be up. I'll send out a link to the shul to remind everyone.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And give everyone that link to all the shiurim. One of the shiurim is on that topic, but very, very briefly. So if, for the most part, you don't have to worry about it, because since they could technically clean the dishes with cold water, if they decide to use hot water, then that's doing it for their own convenience. You don't have to worry about that. There is an issue when it comes to hachana, preparation. So yes, if we're talking about cleaning up from, let's say, Friday night dinner, and you need the space for Shabbos day, that's okay. Let's say they're cleaning up the kitchen for certainly for a shalashuddas meal, for argument, let's just say. Shabbos is over in an hour. They're clearly just doing this to prepare for you for after Shabbos. Then there's a problem. You know, when it comes to lunch, it's more of a shaila. If that's in my house, I need that counter space for the rest of Shabbos because it's onik Shabbos to have a clean, you know, kitchen space. And then that's for the sake of Shabbos. That's not a problem. If it's purely just preparing for after Shabbos, just to save me some time, you know, then that would be a problem. But you could, if you look at that shiur, you'll get more details on that whole shiur. Okay.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. It was great. Great class.
Thank you.
And
feel free, proactively, if you have any thoughts, what I just said about the various ideas for shiurim, feel free to email me too, if you have a opinion. I'm more than welcome to take that.
Great. Thank you.
It will not be a shiur.
Thank you again.
And I'll send out the link to all these shiurim.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good night, everybody. Thank you very much, Mrs. Deitches. Take care.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, be well. Good night.